This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, How Movies Move Us. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Remember when Joaquin Phoenix was on The Letterman Show in 2009? It was so weird.
You've got a nice beard going.
Thank you.
How is that, the beard?
In my way.
Well, is it comfortable? Is it itchy? Are you pleased with it?
I'm okay with it, but now you're making me feel weird about it.
I'm sorry, I'm making you feel weird about it?
Is there something wrong?
I can't be the first one to make you feel weird about it.
No, I guess not.
People were freaking out. Is this real? Is he acting? What is going on? It later turned out that Joaquin Phoenix was acting and David Letterman didn't know. The line between real life and acting seems to get blurry sometimes. Reporter Jad Slayman has more.
On the HBO show Crashing, she was a friendly frisbee player in Central Park.
Hey. Mind if I?
Sure. Thanks, Leo. If you want to play, you're more than welcome.
Okay, thanks. We will.
And on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, she was an eager young resort worker.
Oh, Susie, you can put your ditty bag in the space under my bed if you want.
What did you call it?
A ditty bag? What do you call it?
You can also catch her in a skincare commercial making the rounds.
So if you see a brunette lady who says, when I had acne, I made up a lot of excuses not to go out. That's me. That's me.
Addie Wyrich is a writer, comedian, and actress living in Los Angeles. She was home for a visit in Philly last year, and she was hiding something.
I have this memory of being a little girl and my mom being like, listen, you can pierce your ears as much as you want, but just please, no piercings on your face and no tattoos.
No face piercings, but Addie broke that second prohibition. She had been in Sweden studying theater improv, and to commemorate the experience and give a nod to Philly sports, she decided on a small tattoo.
I got Trust the Process, but it says Lita på processen, which means trust the process in Swedish. And I got it tattooed under my right boob. So easy to be hidden.
She was home for the holidays, having successfully hidden Lita på processen for 2 months at this point.
I'm not saying like we're a naked family in like a weird way, but like I've changed in front of my parents, especially in front of my mom. And my mom is laying on my bed and we're having a conversation and I'm changing my clothes.
And then Addie remembers the tattoo. She tries nonchalantly turning away from her mom to hide the ink.
And she stops what she's saying and she's like, what's up? What'd you do? And I was like, oh, what? I'm just putting my shirt on. And she was like, why'd you turn around? Like, caught me immediately. She's a journalist. She is a crazy Hawkeye. I forget all the time. She's a very smart lady.
Mom is Roni Polonesky, a journalist at the Philadelphia Inquirer. She wasn't thinking tattoo, but she knew something was up.
And I thought, did she have an injury? Did she have a fall? Did someone hurt her? I mean, I didn't know because it was so not like her.
For Addie, it was showtime.
Mom, I feel really bad about my body right now, and I just don't want anyone to look at it, and I don't want you to look at it. I don't want to see you see me looking at it because I just don't like my body right now. So just don't look at it.
For your consideration, Addie Wyrich as insecure daughter at the end of her rope.
I did it so well that like I was crying and really believing it.
And mom?
And then she was like, I'm so sorry. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, let's make sure you have a therapist.
It worked. Her mom believed her performance.
I tell you, I won. I got it. She did not look again.
It worked maybe a little too well.
I think she even managed to get herself to cry a little. She made me feel really guilty for even asking or noticing. And I thought, you know, she's a young woman and, you know, they get horrible messages about their bodies.
Roni even brought up the episode to her husband later.
Like, wow, she's really having a hard time about her body.
Actors make us believe them. It's their job. Marlon Brando really is heartbroken, yelling out for his wife.
Hey, Stella!
Jack Nicholson is actually furious, screaming down the prosecution.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But all that happens on screen. How often could actors use those skills in the real world? Gregory Donaldson used his acting training on a New York City subway to stay safe. He was writing about gangs in the late 80s.
I would have a bit of a sour look on my face, and it's got to do with posture.
If there were menacing teenagers on the train, he wanted them to think, 5-0, that's probably a cop.
I would make eye contact with the kids, and the look I had on my face was one of that I was somewhat bored, a bit amused.
These little changes in posture or facial expression, actors call them adjustments, little tweaks that make you into a different person. These days, Gregory teaches a theater and criminal justice course at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, does little scenes with aspiring cops. Decades ago, he studied under the famous Sandy Meisner, who developed a type of method acting known simply as Meisner. Jeff Goldblum, Diane Keaton, and a bunch of other stars studied under him. A hallmark of the Meisner method is repetition. You just keep saying and listening to the same line over and over.
And it begins to become apparent to you as you're doing it that the words are meaningless, that it's the feeling beneath the words.
He was in a scene in one class where his wife comes home in the middle of the night. His line was, "Where were you?"
And on the third or fourth or fifth, "Where were you?" the anger was, "I was out of my chair. And I was ready to throw the table across the room."
He also tries to tap into what he calls his emotional memory.
To that reservoir of your real feelings, your real reactions, your real emotions.
So if actors are good at tapping into their emotional memory, can they just do it in everyday situations? Like, for instance, to lie? Even though he got away with his cop act on the subway, Gregory tells me acting is an art, not a deception, that great actors use some kind of truth to make an imaginary situation convincing.
I would argue that good liars are pretty good actors most of the time, but that does not mean that good actors are necessarily good liars.
Pamela Meyer has written extensively about lie detection and runs Calibrate, a company that offers lie detection training.
There's an overlap in the skills required to do both, but they are actually separate disciplines.
The skill that most overlaps between liars and actors is convincing an appropriate emotion. Remember how Addie, feigning insecurity, got so emotional she was actually crying? Bad liars have what Pamela calls an emotional gap.
You know, they're saying something really dramatic, but they're not conveying an attitude that matches that. Or oftentimes we see this with in murder cases. You'll see someone's talking about a horrific crime, but they're kind of devoid of emotions.
Or maybe they convey the wrong emotion, what they think people expect instead of what's real.
We associate surprise with the happy surprise party from when, you know, you had your sweet 16 surprise party, but the average person does not like to be surprised. It's a very unpleasant experience.
Notice at your next surprise party, more often than not, it's horror that flashes across the birthday girl's face for a quick moment before turning to smiles. But pulling off pitch-perfect emotion is only one part of a good lie.
When somebody is lying, oftentimes the cognitive load is so high on them, they're trying to think what to say, act composed, appear spontaneous. You know, what they do is they leak these verbal and nonverbal indicators of deceit.
The cognitive load is so great, Pamela says, because liars have to constantly self-monitor. They have to know, for instance, that maybe they feel scared internally, but they have to convey sadness to their mark. They don't have a script to rely on. Lying is basically way more work than acting.
You can be a good actor without necessarily being able to think quickly on your feet, mentally, you know, being mentally agile. You can be a good actor without necessarily having an amazing working memory that allows you to hold two or three different ideas in at the same time.
All this sounds a bit closer to improv than acting to me. So I ask Pamela, are improv artists the ones we should really be worried about?
I would agree with that. I think that a good improv artist oftentimes bears more resemblance to a good liar than a good actor does.
I put all this to Addie, the value of thinking on your feet, cognitive load, and it makes sense to her. She says even though on paper she's made more money as an actor, she considers herself a comedian at heart. Her theater improv training in Sweden, where she got the forbidden tattoo, may have prepared her for the deception perfectly. There's no script, just a scene, and then you go. For example, a scene where a patient is told they'll be turned into a chicken in 4 months.
I don't want to be a chicken. And you're like sobbing and you're crying and it's so funny.
Applying real emotion to a given situation on the fly, it's impressive and pretty common off stage, Addie tells me. In her improv comedy circle of friends, they have to make a rule about it. When we're just hanging out off stage and off set, no bits. Stop doing your act.
We'll say no bits. Like, or we'll say like bit block of being like, yo, no bits. Like, don't, like, not joking around. This is how I actually feel this way.
Some of her friends are maybe too good at it.
dude, I can't tell if you're doing a bit right now or not. Should I be worried about you?
Eventually, Addie dropped the insecure body image bit she had done with her mom. She came clean.
So she said, remember that day when I was covering up my chest? And I said, yes. And she said, I was covering up a tattoo. And I said, you lied. I said, you made me feel so bad for even asking.
At first, Ronnie was mad.
And I said, you know, that was really mean. She goes, I'm sorry.
But also, she was weirdly impressed.
And I'm like, and then I thought, how did you do that?
Like, damn, my daughter can act.
Just objectively speaking, I was like, she's good. She's really good.
That was Jets Layman reporting.